It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, so I'm not usually awake this early, but somebody's making us do this early because we have to do two in a row. I'll do my best. I usually wake up just before we start recording. That's okay. Actually true sometimes. Sometimes I'll take a quick nap before it, but yeah. I have a segment here. It's kind of like what grinds my gears, but it's a little different.
Are we going to have to change the name of the podcast to Grinding Gears or what?
No, because this is a little different. Okay. This is something that I'm not actually bothered by in general, but it needs to be tweaked slightly so that it won't annoy me. So I'm going to call this segment, Let Me Fix That For You. So there's a movie, there's a TV show, it's usually a movie. And in the movie, there's some weird mystery. Something doesn't make sense. And it's, what the fuck is going on? And guess what? At the end of the movie, you don't ever really find out what it was, because that wasn't the point of the movie. The point of the movie was to look at things through a certain lens, using this mystery as a device to examine certain aspects of whatever.
Okay.
And I'm perfectly fine with these movies, and sometimes I find them very fulfilling and very thought-provoking. As long as you tell me up front, that's what it is.
Oh, how do you do that?
I don't know, but we need to invent it. We need the equivalent of like a viewer discretion advised to say, like, be aware, you're going to get no resolution on the mystery. That's not the point. Just soak up the experience. Because in general, the movies that are like that still advertise it as, oh, this is weird. What will the answer be? And if you already know there's not an answer, fuck off. Because that's all I'm focused on. Recently, we watched a movie from 2013, 2014, somewhere in there, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, and directed by Denis Villeneuve, of recent Dune fame. It was really funny because the little blurb said from the director of Dune, and we're like, which one? And I was like, it's got to be Villeneuve, because first of all, if it was David Lynch, they'd just say fucking David Lynch. Also, David Lynch famously does not want to be associated with Dune and took his name off of one of the major theatrical cuts of it. So that would not be what it is. And it turned out it wasn't. But Jake Gyllenhaal is a dude who accidentally finds out there's another dude out there who looks and sounds exactly like him.
Yeah.
Seen that. And is like, what the fuck? You've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of spiders. What
it's called.
It's called Enemy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called Enemy. And it's not a good movie. It's really not. Because even as a sort of atmospheric, metaphoric, you know, journey through the concepts of identity and shit like that, it's dull as hell. But a couple days afterward, when I stopped being angry And also when we had gone onto Wikipedia and be like, because every once in a while Wikipedia knows what shit is about when I don't. Like, they've filled in bits somehow that I missed or whatever. And so we went and looked, and it didn't fill in a lot, but we did get a lot of, like, well, what's the director say it's about? What's Jake Gyllenhaal think it's about? And, that can, and I was like, oh, okay, okay. Now at least I know what they were doing. But it doesn't result. You don't ever figure out why there's two Jake Gyllenhaals or what that, or if, I should say, any of that. You don't ever figure out why there's so many spiders in this movie.
I don't remember that part.
Oh yeah, that's the movie opens with a weird sex club where a naked lady starts to step on a tarantula with a high heel shoe, and then we cut to the actual movie. And then there's also shit where, like, he dreams walking down a hall past a lady, except she's got a spider head. And then there's a time where he dreams of a giant spider over the city that kind of looks like a parade balloon that got away from him. And at the very end, for no reason, he goes to talk to a woman and opens the door, and it's a giant spider. And he's just like,
wow.
Why don't and I spiders are that? Supposed to be a theme for some reason. Yeah. No, it's a very forgettable movie in that way. But that's not what they sold me. They're like, this is a tense thriller in which Jake Gyllenhaal goes down this terrible rabbit hole of intrigue and whatever to find out why there's a dude that looks and sounds just like him. And so the whole time I'm like, okay, what's it going to be? Why are we going to do this? What is, what's happening here? Is what's going on? And at the end, I'm like, oh, I still don't know. Like, the answer is nothing. And again, I am one of those who's very sucked into plot and world building and mythos, but I can absolutely appreciate a movie that does not resolve its things, and that's not the point of it. As long as you tell me up front, that's what kind of movie it's going to be.
But how do
because
you
otherwise, if you open up with what seems like a mystery, I'm all like, okay, what's the answer to the mystery?
Okay, but how do you do that without?
I'm telling you, I think you need an absolutely artificial, viewer discretion advised.
Don't you think that messes, like, it up a little to do that?
No, I think more and more movies need to do this, because too many movies have lost it for me just because I was not in the right mindset. I think we need to do more of introducing up front. Like, okay, here's how you're going to want to think about this.
Well,
and that, and it can be fine if the answer is, this is a movie, just buckle up, because shit's going to take weird turns and you're not even going to know. You can do that too. If, like, the point of it is to surprise you.
Right.
I get that too. But if it's like,
I've often said on the podcast, I'm sure, that, you know, one thing that frustrates me about reading critical reviews is how often it looks like this person, the film just wasn't what they expected. It's not bad necessarily. They're saying it's bad because they're insisting that what they expected was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And when it wasn't that, now they're going to trash it. But if you go to the movie not with that expectation, it's perfectly fine, maybe even great.
Yes. Yes.
So this is a real problem with critical reviews, is even the critics don't seem to understand that they're imposing their own perspective on what it should have been, and they're judging it artistically based on that, which I don't think is fair.
Well, and by and large, I don't look at a lot of critics anymore. The ones I mostly look at are YouTube ones that are amusing. But by and large, the critics that I have used before, which a lot of the ones on AV Club were good for this, and the Scaredy Cats guy is really good for this, tell you, like, here's where it's good as this kind of movie. Here's where it's bad as, and it'll have a score.
Sure.
Because you have to. Because again, as we've discussed many times, saying there were good and bad things involved does not make a good headline. But if you read the review, it's like, it did this well, and it did this poorly, and it did this really poorly, and it did this surprising well. And I can read those and be like, okay, I care about that. I don't actually care about that. I can understand why that would be a thing, and I think I'll be okay with it. And based on that, be like, this is a movie for me, or this is a movie for me when I'm high, or you know, this is a movie for me if I feel like crying. You know, the classic, and it's not a great movie, but the freaking, I think it's just called The Judge or whatever. The Robert Downey Jr. goes back to his hometown because his father, played by Robert Duvall, is losing his mind and shit, and he has to defend him in court or whatever. It's a really sweet family drama and coming to terms with aging and dealing with your own past and stuff like that. And people fucking hated it because all the trailers made it look like a weird courtroom thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely, and people were really mad about it. And I read the stuff and I'm like, oh, no, I get why you're mad. If you wanted that type of movie, it's a terrible one of those. Luckily, that's not what I was under the impression it was.
Well, and another pet peeve of mine is when someone criticizes a movie and it's clear they just don't like the genre. Like they're never gonna have a good review of any horror movie or any superhero movie or whatever. It's like, don't do that. Don't take your hangups and pan this movie just because it's not your thing. I hate that.
I actually just watched a review today that was talking about a horror movie, I think from 2004, called Dead Birds, that I haven't seen and I don't think I would want to. But it was like, this movie is really good if you don't think about it. And it's just the atmosphere of it. And if you like things scaring you, it's very good at that. If you stop for a second and think at all about subtext or plot continuity or anything, it's terrible and you should not watch it. And they're like, if you're a person who doesn't like get into the atmosphere of a horror movie, you will hate this movie because that's all it has going for it. But if you're into that and you know that going in, it's a pretty fun time. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, right. That's
that's
cool.
What I needed to know. And right. I still do not think I ever would have liked Enemy. It is a bad movie in my opinion. But if I had known the kind of movie going in, I would have liked it better. It's so slow. And it's also one of those movies, and I've been having to say this a lot lately, every single thing every actor does and says are things no human being has ever done or said. Like it's one of those movies that is like, did aliens write the screenplay based on their guesses for how humans are? Because none of this is how people interact. Maybe it's how spiders interact. I don't know. But anyway.
Maybe spiders are.
The movie's on HBO Max if you want to see it. But don't, because it's bad. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is just, I mean, going to find its groove any second now. We're right. We're gonna win newcomer of the year one of these times.
It'll happen. So close. Yep, so close.
I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 601.
Yes. We both should be able to keep track of the episode numbers for a while because it's like a reset sort of, you know, it's like we're in
601. Yeah. Kind of starting over.
We'll have to see. Sixth time. For those of you just joining us, welcome. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, real people, not just alternate Jake Gyllenhaals, but actual people. Or are they alternate Jake Gyllenhaals? We don't know. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And the hat magically compels us to talk about it and discuss it if we want to, sort of, when we feel like it. Thank you for being here. So, this is a twofer. because somebody wants to keep their vacation nice and open next week. Because somebody is on break from school right now.
Well, it's first week
of. So, yeah, how's your week been?
Well, you
please
know.
Please say relaxing. Please say relaxing.
It has been that, yeah.
Good.
I've really, you know, I've tried to, I've been tempted many times to do things that I know will not be relaxing. So I do not do those things. And then I, you know, gotten outside a little bit and I've just sometimes, a couple times I've just, you know, sat in my easy chair and just said, you know, I'm just going to just sit here. I can do that. And if I have any thoughts about things I shouldn't be thinking about, I'll think about something else. And I try to think about things that, you know, normally I find peaceful or that I like to think about. Like one of the things I like to imagine, I've probably said it on the podcast a thousand times, is when I was younger, in when fall would come, we had this meadow of tall grass. Dad never mowed. It just year after year, just grass would grow, then it would turn brown, whatever. And in the fall, around this time, you go out there and you could lie in this grass. And it, of course, I love the sound of wind blowing through the grass. And it's in Iowa, it's windy all the time. Iowa's one of the windiest states in the nation. So you, just yeah, about any time.
None of our cities are windy. Chicago is that. We don't let them.
But just about any day in the fall, you're going to hear the grass and the wind blowing through the grass. It's so peaceful and it's so soothing, I guess. And you can, and in the late fall it gets cold, and so you can go out in like a t-shirt or something and it's uncomfortable, but when you get out into the grass and you lay down in the grass, the sun will warm you up even though it's cold.
There is some insulation being in really tall grass, like to the degree that you can notice as you lay down, it's warmer down here.
Yeah. And it's very cozy, and you could just, and you don't really fall asleep. You just enter this sort of state of consciousness that's awake, so you can enjoy how cozy and wonderful, and it smells good. The dry grass and leaves smell good, and it's just one of my best memories from childhood. And so I just, you know, if I was sitting in my chair trying to do nothing, also trying not to really think about the things that I normally think about, I'd go, okay, I'm going to go back to that place. And it, you know, it was nice.
I've been in that experience.
Relaxing.
It is a wonderful experience. And then you're like, what's that? Oh my God, something's crawling on my leg. Something's crawling on my leg.
I never had that experience. Like a grasshopper or something landing on me or something.
Some sort of creepy crawly.
Yeah. But at night, of course, Abby comes home. We try to do fun things. And recently, I wanted to tell you, recently we didn't get Shudder, but we got some other service that includes Shudder.
Yeah.
But anyway,
okay.
we can get stuff that's on Shudder now. Some stuff.
All right.
And I think this thing we're watching, I think one of the things we're watching, this thing I'm going to talk about is on Shudder. It's Nosferatu, but it's NOS4
Eli Roth thing. Yeah.
A2. It was written by Stephen King's son or whatever. And, and what's his name's in it? Shoot. What is his name? He's in the new, he's Spock in the new Star Treks.
Oh, Zachary Quinto.
Yeah. He's in it. He's very good in it, by the way. The show itself is very, I mean, you would think Stephen King wrote it. I mean, his son must just write exactly like his dad does. And, you know, some of that's good. And some of it's not so good. I like shows that are a slow burn, but this is like, it's not really a slow burn. It's just kind of boring and not as interesting as it could be given what it's about and what the setup is. I think it's a Shudder thing. Are you familiar with it at all? Or
I know it is on Shudder.
Okay.
I think it started. I want to say it started on Sci-Fi Channel or something.
Well, I think beforehand, but they have a, what do you call them? A card at the beginning that shows, you know, Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever. And it says Shudder, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right. Or maybe, I mean, Shudder does a lot of originals in the same way that Netflix does, which is they take stuff often from other countries and are like, oh, no, it's original for us.
The production values are good. I mean, it doesn't seem like a, I mean, it's, it feels like a streaming show, but it doesn't like cheap or something. I mean, it's good quality production values, but here's the thing. It's got some interesting lore, I think, and actually it ties in with some Stephen King stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, everything does. I mean,
well, I mean, his son, you know, obviously, but I mean, his dad's stuff is great.
Seriously, I actually watched a video that did a 3D model of the chronology of everything Stephen King wrote and how it all connects, and it's insane.
Yeah, well, his son's stuff does the same. Anyhow, the lore seems kind of interesting.
This is like when your parents do your homework. I'm not sure his son's actually writing this stuff.
The lore seems kind of interesting. I mean, the way they're portraying it in the show is not as interesting as I think it could be, but I think part of the trouble is they spend almost no time on that, and they spend a lot of time with the protagonist and her family drama and things like that, which I think is also a Stephen King kind of thing, and I think it's supposed to get you invested in the character and the things that happen to them, but it doesn't achieve that at all. It's just like, why? I don't care about this stuff that's going on. It doesn't make me interested in the character or like the character more. I am interested to know more about what all this weirdness is about. That's really why I'm watching this. And then, you know, they could do a lot better with that. But it's good to see Zachary in something where he gets to show a little more range. And I think he's pretty good in it.
He seems to be in a lot of things that aren't my cup of tea. So I feel bad because I like him and I think he does a good job. But he's one of those actors that I'm just like, he just often picks projects that I'm like, I'm not interested in that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
this one I have been curious. I mean,
well,
I'm guessing maybe it has to do with vampires.
It does, but kind of only sort of. Again, this is part of them not really covering the lore very well.
Yeah. But that's not good for me. But
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being picky. I don't know. But I spent a lot of time, you know, things are happening in the narrative and I'm thinking, this isn't helping your story. I mean, I'm all for character development and I've watched shows or movies where they have spent a lot of time on character and it was good. Like it was meaningful. I was interested. I was engaged. But this just doesn't do that. And I don't know what the problem is really. The protagonist, I don't remember the actor's name, but she's very good. And I like her and I like her character more or less, but it's like interactions she has with her family and other and friends and stuff is like,
there's a lot of things that have to get right to make a successful piece of film.
Well, I mean, we're still watching it because it's fun, but
I'm mostly super excited though that you got Shudder. Now you get to watch a whole bunch of movies that I want everybody to watch, but that are only on Shudder, and so we can't do it. I can't even remember the fucking name of the one I talked about, a ghost story or ghost that one. That's the real micro budget one that I still really loved. You can watch that.
Yeah.
Watch Lucky, which I'll warn you, that's one of those movies that you're not going to get a resolution to. And also it's clearly an inexperienced screenwriter's attempt, but it is a marvelous movie that makes some fascinating points that there hasn't been a movie like that, in my opinion. Since then, another movie has come out that I do think is similar, although I don't want to see it, and I'm not going to say what it is because I feel like telegraphs itself more than I want to do it. But Lucky, you guys should watch Lucky. And if you're into dark comedy horrors, there's a few of them on there that are really good. Psycho Gorman, and the Boys of Something County. I've talked about them all here. Go back, listen to the first 600 episodes. You will find a lot of recommendations from Shudder specifically.
Well, you know, when it comes to horror, I don't like, you know, gore and body horror, you know.
Yeah.
I like dread. You know, I like existential dread. And I mean, I don't mind, you know, I get that people are going to die or whatever.
Really cool mythology.
And good lore, right. I get that some people are going to die and maybe some violent things will happen, but I don't want that to be the thing.
Yeah.
Although, interestingly, I found that I don't like slashers is what it comes down to, but for some reason I have, you know, I've seen the original Halloween and I've seen the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Seems like there's one other I've seen.
Friday the 13th is the other one I would put in that trilogy.
Yeah, but I don't think that's it though. I don't think I have seen that. But anyway, something about Halloween actually fascinates me a little bit. I won't say I like it.
Is it that they filmed it in April and so they only literally had 3 pumpkins for the entire shoot? Because that's a real thing.
Yeah, that is a real thing. It's very funny. But I think I think my headcanon turns it into something that's a better idea than it really is. And so that, you know, and so when they made they've made 2 more recently with Jamie Lee Curtis. And I was interested. And I was interested to see them. And we saw the first one they made with her, not the second one. But I'm kind of interested to see it. I don't think I'll like it because I don't really like them. But for some reason I am kind of interested in them. And one thing is, I think of the original Halloween idea, even though it didn't work out this way at all, and I don't think they were even thinking about this. But when I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh, this is actually a clever idea, like a serial killer who's doing their serial killing on Halloween when they could like leave a house all bloody and a mask on and everything and no one's gonna know, and they could just go into the next house, kill everybody. Come out, no one's gonna know. I mean, that's creepy to me, and that's very clever. That's not really what they did with it, but
no, and to be fair, 1,000 movies have done that since.
Right. But I mean, that's just like, that's kind of in my head. So I think that makes me sort of, I don't know, gives me sort of an affinity for it. But also it's unlike like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. It's, and also excluding all of the weird sequels that they seem to have gotten rid of now because they're making these new movies. He's mostly just an ordinary guy. You know, he's not supernatural,
or which is whatever. Supposed to be. So as I understand it, John Carpenter sees Black Christmas, which we've talked about, which is also on Shudder, and you should see it if you have not, which is arguably the first slasher, potentially, and is an incredible movie and surprisingly progressive for the 1970s slasher movie. And he's blown away by it. And he's like, I want to make one of these, and I'm put it on holiday in the same way. Like, the movie's not about Christmas, but it takes place at Christmas. And so that's the same thing. Halloween's not supposed to be about Halloween. It's supposed to take place on Halloween.
Right.
And Michael Myers is not supposed to have an explanation.
No,
he's just a fucked up kid with no motivation who just wants to murder people.
Yeah.
And that was the movie. And then he makes the movie and everybody loses their goddamn minds over it. And they're like, John, you need to make a sequel. And he's like, I don't want to. I thought of this as like a film anthology thing where they'd be like different stories. And they're like, no. Direct sequel with that guy. And he's like, okay, I'll fucking do it. And he does it, and he makes a sequel, and the sequel brings in some weird bits, but it's still sort of grounded in there. And then he's like, okay, but that's it. Now we're doing anthology. So he makes Halloween 3, and Halloween 3 has nothing to do with Michael Myers.
I didn't know that.
It is a very polarizing film because the story is completely unrelated to anything that happens in the first 2 movies.
Huh. I think I would have liked that if he just did a Halloween anthology. That would have been cool. Well,
watch it. It's a standalone, and it's terrible if you're like, this is a sequel to those. But as its own movie, I still don't think it's very good. But it has a lot of interesting pieces, And in particular, I don't want to spoil, but there is a thing at the risk of one of the things that I do appreciate about horror films is that they will be transgressive in ways other films won't. And sometimes they do it for transgression's sake, and that's annoying. But sometimes it's like, no, we will go places and talk about things that other movies won't do. And I appreciate that. Halloween 3 does something and goes somewhere in a particular scene that even most horror movies are not willing to do for kind of arbitrary reasons. And so I appreciate that they actually went for it. But anyway, he does that. Everybody's like, fuck off, what is this? And I believe at that point, he's like, you know what? I'm out. Y'all do whatever. And then they start making other ones. And then they're like, oh, it's a family curse. Oh, he's possessed by druids. Oh, it's part of a cult. Oh, let's send him to space. Oh, whatever. Never, 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 never from then on. And that, and those are all insane. And that's why even Rob Zombie's like, you know what? Let's just pretend those didn't happen. And he makes his two movies. And in his two movies, it's much more like getting into the mind of a serial killer thing. And we spend a lot of time on Michael Myers' past and how he was abused and all of that, which, and it's Rob Zombie, so whatever. And so now these people are like, okay, all of these suck. We're going to pretend none of this happened. Go. And as near as people are really liking the new ones, I think they like the new ones for the same reason people like the first one. Trish and I finally saw the first one. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it at all.
It's now, not good at all.
I got to give it credit. It did a lot of things for the first time that later became cliches.
I think that's another thing that intrigues me about it is that.
To me, there's a middle ground where I like to live between let's really make you sympathize with the murderer and get in their head, which I don't like, or it's just a killer. It's just a person who is broken in a way that they murder. Both of those extremes I do not like. But I need some motivation, but I also don't want... Yeah, this is a movie where the main character is a murderer, and we spend all of our time with the main character getting into why they're a murderer and why they're so awful. No, I don't need that either. Which, as I have been led to believe, are the Rob Zombie ones. So yeah, I don't enjoy them at all. But the new ones, I think, are more in that vein. Although, oh my god, from what I can tell, the Halloween movies, I think, really exemplify this. But a lot of slashers have this. They sort of don't, people, fans of them don't really care about the plot. They care about the cool kills.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that in a dose this big. Like, if somebody tells me, holy shit, this movie had this really weird ass murder, you should see it. It's really creative. I'll watch a clip and be like, wow, that was. I don't need a movie of that, let alone a series of movies of that.
Like Final Destination and stuff like that. And yeah, Saw. Like
Final Destination is the most transparent because it's like, here's a movie where nobody dies. And so then death is like, well, then fuck it. I'm going to make them real gnarly.
Yeah, I mean,
also the movies where the rules of the universe don't match from movie to movie.
Yeah, right.
Which is a sign. Every Friday the 13th movie, the thing that stops him is different. Every Nightmare on Elm Street movie, his origin and his weakness and the reason he is the way he is changes. Every Halloween movie, it was this, and then it was this. And...
Well, like I said, I'm not sure. I think those two things. One is I didn't think Halloween was very well made. I mean, it was obviously the first film of the person who made it, but I think it felt grounded in a way.
It might be his second, but yeah, I think.
It felt grounded in a way. And also, like you said, there are things that happen that I somehow, before I saw it, I was made aware that, well, these are some of the first time this kind of thing was done. And so I could appreciate it on that level.
And there might be a psycho element. Like if I went in not knowing and like nobody had really seen slashers, I could see why that's a thing.
And also, like I said, I make up my own little Halloween hook there. That's not even really there, which I think.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. So for some reason I can watch these movies and like, be okay with them, even though I don't think they're very good. Did you ever see Trick or Treat?
No, it's on my list and I haven't gotten around to it. I have heard very good things.
So we saw it some time ago. Also, very gory and violent. Not the kind of thing I usually like. And I think the first viewing, I suffered a little bit by not knowing what kind of thing it was supposed to be, and therefore, again, expectations. You know how I sometimes have to see a film more than once before I can tell what I think of it. And this is one of those. I've only seen it once. Maybe this Halloween season, we'll see it again, because I know there are things that I liked about it. And I think it was clever. I mean, I don't know. I really have to watch it again. I have
heard it is quite clever. It actually puts some twists into things that you haven't seen. It is more original than most movies of its ilk have been in a
video. Yeah, and there's this Sam character that I have to admit I kind of like that character kind of wandering through the different vignettes, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll have to see it again and see how I feel about it. I'm pretty sure I don't know. I don't think I'm going to love it because it's kind of a slasher, but I think I actually might like it by the time I'm done watching it.
And I should put out a disclaimer here because I watch a lot of slashers. And I watch a lot of bad horror movies. And I'm enjoying them in a different way. It's not that I think it's a good movie, and it's not that I enjoy watching the creative kills, because also they're almost never actually creative. It's more of an ironic watch / drinking game sort of vibe. I'm like, oh, how's this one going to come up with the reason why they're all trapped? Oh, what terrible stereotypes that are played so awful are all these characters going to be so that we like seeing them killed? Oh, how shitty are the set pieces? Oh, do they actually know how to film or not? Like, oh, is any of it at all scary? That kind of thing. Is there anything new or unusual in it? And so a lot of it is just sort of ironically enjoying them, and I watch a lot of them that I have a good time watching, even though I'm like, yeah, that movie was horseshit.
Well, if you watch Trick or Treat, I'm really curious to know what you think, because I think that you know, like I said, I don't like gratuitous violence really ever, but sometimes the story is good enough. Like there are, like I said, I like horror elements that are like Dread and things like that, and if a movie has that and also a little gore to go along with it, I can sometimes, the gore doesn't, because it seems contextualized in a way that makes sense.
Creativity.
Yeah.
Again, if you start doing shock for shock value, great example. One of those Fear Street movies that Netflix did, which were so-so, but they degenerate into serious slasher movies. Has a scene, I don't even remember the context, but basically somebody ended up on the conveyor belt of a bread slicing machine. And their head went through the bread slicer and came out the other side in slices, and it was gross. And if there had been a lot of that, I would not have been into the movie, but at the time I was like, well, we were also laughing because we're like, that's, bread slicers don't have that kind of torque to do that. But no, also I was just like, you know what? That's different. And the special effect they did on it, while completely not the way human bodies work, was interesting. And I was like, that's kind of fun. That was kind of fun. It was gross, but it was fun. But again, only happened once in that movie. If that had been the movie, I would have gotten tired of it real fast. But I can appreciate occasionally, I'm like, you came up with something creative. Maybe it's a little amusing. and you did some interesting special effect.
I guess, but I mean, the problem with me is like, well, for example, I do like Vampire Fiction, but I hate like the moment a vampire is like biting somebody or drinking blood or doing any of that gross stuff. It's like nauseating. I hate it, but I like the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't say some
stories will do that nowadays because we already know that shit. We don't necessarily have to spend time on that part.
Yeah. And some people I think like being grossed out and that's part of the entertainment. I'm not entertained by that at all, but I will watch a vampire story knowing that there are going to be things in it that like turn my stomach. Like I really don't like, I wish they told the story without showing that, but I'm not an idiot. I know they're going to show that. How do you dramatize a vampire story without showing it? So of course I understand.
I think you could. And I think it would be an interesting challenge of filmmaking, but
really you think so?
I think without showing it, I think you could, because again, it is such a standard trope now that you could essentially do a fade to black. Now, I'll tell you why I don't think most people will, because the reason a lot of people don't have this problem who like vampire movies is it's also a sexual metaphor. So even if it's gross for a lot of people, it's somewhat arousing.
I don't like to think about that.
And so there's that component. But
to each his own and all, but
and I don't have this, but there are some people for whom the visual blood is kind of a non-starter in anything ever. Like I know people who are not scared by anything. Well, I was just talking to somebody the other day and she's like, I don't have problems with phlebotomy or injections or anything, because we were kind of talking about that fear of needles and stuff. And she's like, but one time somebody forgot to like put their thumb down, and so it was bleeding out of there, and seeing my blood coming out seemingly uncontrolled just broke me immediately. And I don't have that, but I'm like, that's a very specific thing for this person is normally not bothered by any of that kind of stuff. But so I could see that being a thing. But yeah, I think that's what I mean. But no, at this point you totally could have a vampire that's like, oh, what are you doing here alone in the night? Oh, come into this little alcove with me. Oh, and then I move towards your neck, and then we cut to a shot of the moon, and she goes, ah! And then the next morning, you're like, we found this dead body. Everybody knows what happened. I don't feel like we lost anything, right? What are you laughing at? That's every vampire movie, right there.
I just want so badly now. Write a vampire story, but you have to be in it.
you have to be
the vampire, and you have to talk.
I don't even know what's so funny. It's not original. Literally every vampire movie that's ever happened has gone exactly the way I just described it.
Okay. Man, you're killing me. That is so funny.
That was the first
what are you doing? That's like a French vampire or something.
Oh, course. Yeah. Because vampires are sexy and French people are sexy, right? That's how it works.
What are you doing here? Alone in the night.
Come with me into this alcove. Yeah. How so vampires funny. Work.
Okay.
How they all work. The basic rules. No crosses, no garlic, no sunlight. What are you doing in this alleyway? Come with me to the alcove, alone in the night. Basic vampire rules.
Oh, that is great. I love it.
Don't screw with the mythos.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be constantly texting you recommendations now that you're on Shudder. I love Shudder.
Well, good, because, yeah, I mean, you talk about it all the time, and, you know.
I do.
We've never thought, you know, we've got so many other things we're paying for, but this is a thing that has several different, I don't know, it's one of those things you can get that has lots of other things, like, with it, and it's not that expensive. So it's like, okay, yeah, we could, you know, if it gives us access to Shudder so we can look at stuff in there. I don't, that's not what we originally did it for though. We did it for something, some other thing. But when we saw Shudder was with it, we thought, oh, well, that'll make it worth even more worth it to get Shudder with it. So I don't know what's going, I mean, you know, I don't know if you heard this, but, Discovery bought, Warner Brothers. You probably knew that.
No, I didn't.
Some time ago. There's already talk of them. Well, after they bought Warner Brothers, they canceled some things. Like there was going to be a Batgirl movie and it was in post-production and everything. They canceled it.
I knew there was some issues with there was going to be a Batgirl movie. It went away, but I didn't pay enough attention to care.
They did a few other things like that. And now there's already talk of them selling Warner's off to Universal, which if that happens, you know, it's, I mean, you remember what happened when Disney bought 20th Century Fox? I mean, there's not really a 20th Century Fox anymore. I mean, there's a Fox Searchlight imprint because Disney can't put out movies that are family unfriendly, you know? So now this is their new touchstone is Fox Searchlight or whatever it is.
Sorry. It makes me laugh because we're in second season of Hacks and one of the characters is a really incompetent receptionist. And the reason she's there is she's the daughter of the CEO. And there's a heart to heart talk she's having with somebody about how she really wants to like prove herself or whatever. She's like, maybe I should just give up and go run Fox Searchlight or something.
Well, so what would happen if Universal bought Warner Brothers? I mean, they're not going to make a Warner Brothers imprint or whatever. They're just going to, Warner Brothers is going to go.
It'll just be the other Disney. It'll mean that there are two companies making all of the things now.
Yeah, the Warner Brothers won't really exist anymore. Yeah. Except it's going to be something that's at the beginning of some old movies that you've watched. But it's like, wow, that's a shocker to think that there's even talk about Warner Brothers not existing anymore and Universal having it in all its properties. I mean, Universal's theme parks already has that Harry Potter experience or whatever, which is you know, Warner Brothers property. So some people are excited about it. Some people are saying, well, great, because now they can incorporate DC characters into their theme parks. You know, they can make all this stuff. It's like,
well, in general, Warner Brothers and Universal are your two favorite imprints. So,
well, I don't know.
We
about
got
that.
The old fashioned monsters and the DC comics. You're all set.
I mean, that's true. And also Battlestar Galactica is with Universal. I mean, they've got a lot of good properties over there, but I don't like big consolidations. I don't think it's ultimately a good thing when that happens. No. So
agreed, but it's also a foregone thing when that happens.
Well, I'll tell you this though.
And eventually there's technically three because Hasbro is still its own monolith because it's mostly out in other media, but those three will eventually form into one Unicron or whatever, and then it'll be it.
I have to admit, if Universal Studios down in Florida, you know, because last time I was at Universal Studios in Florida, they had superhero things, but it was all Marvel stuff, which I don't know how that worked.
There are a lot of mistakes that happened because Marvel never realized how huge they were going to get.
Yeah.
And some of the mistakes are they license things out sort of in versions of in perpetuity to Universal. And it's why you now have Marvel stuff at Disney parks, but certain ones you will never see, and you will see them only at Universal ones because they still have the rights. It's sort of similar to why Sony's still making Spider-Man things, Disney technically owns it now.
Well, if Universal
Got it before Disney ever thought of getting Marvel or realized how big it was going to be.
If they started having DC stuff down there, I might go down there. I mean, there's a lot of rides I can't ride without getting sick anymore, but who knows? Anyway, talk too long. What about your week?
We don't got time to talk about my week. We're almost done.
Save it for next time.
I'm since literally, we're doing a double. We've gone an hour.
We didn't even pull a question.
Talking about Jake Gyllenhaal and other Jake Gyllenhaal. and Shudder. But I'm happy to talk about horror movies. I mean, some people are going to be really annoyed. Some people don't like that. But next week I'm going to talk about video games, so other people will really not like that. So there you go.
Okay.
But there is one thing I want to say that is time sensitive in the sense that everybody will know about it by next week. So I just want to say it now because I think it's awesome. I just found out today. So, AFC Richmond, the fictional soccer / football team from Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
With all of its specific characters from Ted Lasso, is going to be a playable team in the next iteration of FIFA video game.
Wow.
In FIFA 23, you can play as AFC Richmond. And yes, you can field Roy fucking Kent.
Wow. That's amazing.
Like, this is the closest I've ever come to wanting to play a soccer video game. I'm still not doing it, but like, this is the closest I've ever been.
What if someone bought it for you, though?
I mean, I'd try it, but I think I would play it like once, and then that would
really
be
it. You don't think you'd like it?
I don't know, because I've never played one. But yeah, in general, I don't like sports, and I don't like sports games. But the way I found out about it is I follow the official Ted Lasso. Like, it's weird. I do not think Jason Sudeikis is the one doing the Twitter account, but it is official with the check mark, the Ted Lasso Twitter account. And he referenced it, and I really liked it because his quote on it was, "It's really weird to see all my guys as CGI, except Roy. He kind of just looks the same." And I was like, CGI, what? And I looked at it and I'm like, holy shit. So yeah, you can play as AFC.
I mean, that's a W. That's a Warner Brothers property. Ted Lasso.
Is it?
Yeah. HBO. Wait. Through HBO, I think.
What? Yeah. That can't be right.
All I know is I get emails from Warner Brothers shop all the time trying to sell me Ted Lasso stuff.
Well, Ted Lasso originally was a creation by NBC, who is owned by Universal and is broadcast on Apple. So, but I mean, I don't know. Those are all crazy things like that. So
yeah, Warner Brothers shop will send me things to sell me Scooby-Doo stuff, Ted Lasso stuff, Lord of the Rings stuff. Universal will have it all pretty soon, I guess. Or maybe the government won't let it happen. I don't know. I have no idea.
I can't see how it would be any bigger than Disney owning Marvel and ABC. So,
well,
and Fox. This is what people controlling interest in Hulu. So
this is what people have said. People have said the government, there's no way the government, in fact, the argument I heard was that after they let Disney get Fox, they really can't, like, they couldn't stop Universal from getting Warner Brothers. I mean, what would their rationale and justification be? There isn't one.
No mouse. I mean, at a certain point, it's who's got better lawyers, but they've all got really good lawyers at this point.
I guess that's true.
It's sad. Everything is sad. That's our lesson for today. Everything is sad. Watch Shudder. Embrace the darkness. And don't see Enemy on HBO Max. If you'd like to tell us how your existential crisis is going, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us there, or write us and tell us about it. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Like we said, this is going to be a two-parter, so like in a minute, we're going to just start up again, but you won't see it till next week. And then we'll have more things, and we'll go through questions and stuff like that, like a normal thing. But we both had some wild hairs this week, so come back next week, and I'll be like, oh, what are you doing in this podcast in the night alone? Come with me. Now it's getting Transylvania again. We may never be able to recapture that lightning in a bottle. I don't know.
Yes, Jason. yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.